Hi, this is Mia, founder of Mama Happy and guest host for this week's She Is Seen podcast. First, I want to acknowledge that I am proudly from Cherokee Nation and honored to live on Wurundjeri Wurundjeri country. I honor the traditional custodians of the land and surrounding waters where I live and work. I acknowledge their deep connection to country and pay my respects to elders past, present, and emerging. Today, I'm spending time with Kyla McHughes, a wonder that I have labeled a carrier of language. Kyla's story is worth your time, an opportunity to practice deep listening, an opportunity to grow into a better human. Hi again, we're back, and this time I'm sitting here having coffee in my home with an incredible Wurundjeri woman, Kyla McHughes.
So, thanks so much.
Yeah, you're a special, special woman. Do you feel comfortable introducing yourself in language for us?
So, Ngānawī Michi Kailari McHughes, Ngāpi Lakinyeri Wurundjeri. So my name is Kyla McHughes and I am Wurundjeri.
Beautiful. you sound so eloquent. I've learned a few words, but I just like, can you read to me at night?
Sure.
Yeah. Is that weird? That's kind of weird.
That's so weird.
That's okay. So I want to hear about, just how you came to kind of being this carrier of language, which what that means for those listening is that Kyla is really leading the way in helping our local community and broader as well connect with the Wurundjeri language. Or should I say Wurundjeri Wurundjeri?
I say both and either at different times.
All right, thank you for that.
Yeah.
I'm gonna get it clear in my head. And Kyla runs free classes for school groups, for council, for lots of you run a lot of classes,
yeah. And work in a high school and go around to the kindies and stuff as well.
It's like such a gift to our community, and I can't wait until all of our road signs, everything just reflects has both, Wurundjeri and English on there. I'm so excited about that. And I feel like with what you're doing, you're helping lead the way for that.
Yeah. Thank you.
Which is incredible. So, well, I want to understand how you came to really carrying that responsibility, but I would love to back up first and with whatever, however deep you feel comfortable going, help tell me, us, those listening, a little bit about what it was like growing up as a First Nations, as a Wurundjeri Wurundjeri woman.
Yeah. So it's all a little bit jumbled, but growing up we didn't know a lot about my culture. So even thinking as a primary school student, I didn't know a lot about my culture. I was always felt strongly that I am Wurundjeri and was proud of that, but also sometimes I felt a lot of shame around that. And then as I got older, I kept asking my pop about his childhood and about, language and stuff, and he would always just shut me down. Don't know, never spoke language. And, even as a kid, if I was running around town and my clothes were dirty, I was a tomboy. I was an absolute tomboy. Yeah. I had scraggly hair. I had shorts and a t-shirt. I sometimes didn't have shoes. We were climbing trees, fishing down the river, jumping off of paddle steamers.
Sounds amazing.
Trekking down to the beach. So every time if my pop would catch us with scraggly hair and dirty clothes, he would smack our bums and send us home.
Right.
And he was the most beautiful, gentle man ever. Wow. But, so this didn't,
Do you think that was his, the shame that he was carrying, thinking that was associated with being Wurundjeri? What you're saying or what?
A fear. So he, we didn't know as a kid that his four younger siblings were in the stolen.
Oh, right.
We didn't know. So that part of Pop didn't fit, you know. So, because he was absolutely beautiful. And so we realised, I think as an early adult even, I'm not even sure when we found out that his four younger siblings were stolen, and two of them are still alive today, you know. So my pop passed away, he was 86, I think, a couple of years ago.
Okay.
So this is still, well, we live within this lifetime.
Yeah.
So they were stolen when he was he 10 or 11? Can't remember. But his boss, we say he's a catchety, crinkery, marthawee. So a white man boss.
Right.
Beautiful white man boss.
Yeah.
And so he advocated for our family for like, I don't know how long they were taken, but I do feel about 2 years.
Okay.
And so my pop was at work then, and he was 11, so apparently he was too old to be taken, to be converted.
Wow.
So
they had an age.
Yeah, yep. Yeah. Wow. So to be able to foster them out or put them in missions and stuff to be converted, yeah, they did have to be impressionable, you know. Wow. My pop, he was 11, he was already at work, and their boss advocated, sent letters to the government. The government would send letters back saying, this is how much, so they had to pay money, this is how much it was, and then they would have to work for months to get this money to write back, so we've gotten this money, and they kept upping the price.
Right.
So, you know, they were...
To
make it really hard. So luckily for our family that this boss, he was like all over it.
How amazing.
Yep.
And he just felt like, yeah, I'm going to help you. I'm going to fight. Wow. Have you met this boss?
No.
Okay.
No.
Right.
Don't know.
And what about
who
the two siblings that are living?
Yep.
Have you connected with them?
Yeah. Yep. So they were taken for 2 years and then they were given back because of the help that they got from this boss.
Wow.
Yeah.
Okay.
So all of them too as well, absolutely tight-lipped. There is no, they have shut it all down. You ask them questions, same as pop, they get cross at you.
Okay.
You know?
The trauma is too much?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Or is that?
Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, maybe. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. You know, I used to ask my pop if he knew any words and he would tell me no.
Right.
No, didn't know.
But he did?
Well, I heard him out the back talking to one of his mates one day and I'm just sitting inside and he said to him, oh, yeah, my mate used to say Tuntun and the dog would play dead. Tuntun is sleeping. Oh. And I heard him and I was like, is he for real? Like, he didn't even – he tells me no.
Right.
So – but we grew up with Dad, you know, reconnecting with some people. So we learned, we knew words growing up.
Yeah.
But we didn't know sentences.
Okay.
So we knew, you know, basic words for heaps of things, but there was no sentences whatsoever.
Right.
And yeah, so I can't even remember when, you know, I left and, you know, I was getting into all sorts of stuff. So early, late teens, early 20s, I was, you know, I travelled around Australia. I did heaps of travelling, a few places overseas and living all around Australia, and I had some of the best jobs in the world, like amazing, but there was still something missing. There was still this yearning, this longing, you know, for something.
Wow.
Because I've always, even as a kid, I've always felt lost. I've always felt, I've always been a really deep thinker. I've always had a really good connection with animals and to country and, you know, just would always be outside, you know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. Immersed in nature.
Yeah.
And then I think I came home when I was 29 or 30, came back here and I went to uni because I still didn't know what I wanted to do, and I was looking through jobs in the paper, and I was like, you know, just bored of it all.
Yeah.
And then fell into, you know, learning about my sister becoming ACEO, Aboriginal Community Education Officer in a school.
Yeah.
And I was like, oh, because I wanted to help. I went to uni to be a teacher.
Right.
Realised I didn't want to be a teacher. Mm. I wanted to work with the kids that were struggling.
Yeah.
And then just sort of fell into that. And then I came home and got the job at Gore Primary School, and then was learning language with elders from there.
Oh, amazing.
And so that's how, and they all knew my dad too. So I was back home and dad was home. And
so was your family, did they stay here on country overall? So you went and traveled around, but your family, you had them to return here too.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. My sister and that did live in Cairns for a couple of years or a few years. So I did, live up there with them and mum too for a while. And, you know, family were always coming to visit and but yeah, then we came home and family.
Okay.
Yeah. So, yeah, as soon as I started doing language here, learning more, you know, at the time, dad was doing Welcome to Country, so I was going along with him, and we've always done smoking ceremonies as a family, you know, a lot, like since I was little.
Okay, so that was very much part of your your upbringing that you had. You had that around. Yeah. So language was a no-no. But smoking ceremony.
Well, we spoke a bit of language with my dad. It's my pop who wouldn't speak.
Oh, pop. Oh, okay. I think I thought your pop was your dad. So I misunderstood that.
No, that's
one.
Okay.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So dad, we would always do that stuff with. He was, you know, fishing. He was always out on the water. Yeah.
Okay. So he put this pride in you.
Yeah.
About who you are.
Yeah.
And to carry that. Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
Definitely. Yeah. Mm. Yeah, and for painting as well. He was the one who taught me how to paint. And yeah. Then, you know, I was copying some of his things, and then, you know, it took me like a good few years to, you know, I painted with all different people from around Australia too. So I painted with friends that I met in Darwin, painted with friends in Tweed Heads.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I've,
Incredible.
Yeah.
So has that influenced your art now? The way that you create now, or
I think it's just if I look back to then to now, it is completely different.
Yeah.
I do a lot of cross hatching, a lot of lines, which I've always done.
Yeah.
Because just patterns and lines and stuff is and animals and you know, so so I can see definitely similarities from then till now, but I think it's just evolved.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. Because traditionally, and I didn't know this at the time when I was young, Nadanjedi didn't do dots.
Yes.
Yeah. So, and that when I found that out, I was like, wow, because that's, you know, I mostly do cross hatching.
Yeah.
But I do some dots as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Amazing. Do you know the reason behind that? Is it just a, I'm just curious, of like not doing dots?
It's just a cultural thing.
Yeah.
So,
okay.
Yeah, we didn't do it. And you could look at, paintings from different places, and certain people, you know, are only allowed to do that style from on their country and from like the colors too. Some, you know, traditionally you could look at a painting and know where it's from because of the colors and the patterns and symbols that they use.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
Amazing.
Yeah.
But so now it's a thing of painting. You mentioned from just from your MeeWe.
Yeah.
So dots are okay.
Yeah, dots are okay.
Now
I do use, and I think because dad, he lived in Tasmania for like 10 years, and he was doing like paintings with the mob up there.
Yeah.
And he did some dots and stuff as well. So I think I've just, and when I was younger, I didn't know that Nadanjedi didn't do dots, so we did always done cross hatching but dots as well. And so I think that's just, you know, from painting with my dad.
Incredible.
Yeah,
it's amazing that your dad really brought you in to that as well, especially because maybe that was a yearning in him too, like
it was
that, like, he felt that same.
He didn't have that you know, that connection to culture source,
yeah,
you know, but then people that he's met along the way and cousins that he's, you know, joined back together with. Yeah, so he's always had that really strong yearning. Yeah. And he's always been a traveller, you know.
So good.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you feel like he really made a point of empowering you and Jade? Is it just the two of you?
No, I've got four. There's four of us.
Oh, wow. Yeah.
So me and Jade and then two younger sisters. We've all got the same dad but different mums.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah.
Amazing. So do you feel he empowered all of you?
Yeah.
With your culture?
Yeah.
Definitely. Yeah, and so where you have this confidence and fierceness, you know, that's what I've met.
Yeah.
The woman I've met, you know, but you said you didn't feel that as much when you were younger, or you did?
No. Okay. I did, but Dad traveled a lot, and more when I was a kid than, when I was an adult. So,
okay.
We still like saw him and stuff. He was living in Tasmania and we were here.
Yeah.
So we still saw him, but then we would, yeah. And then, so our Nan and Pop have always lived here, so we stayed with them a lot.
Yeah.
And even when Dad was away, we'd still go and stay with them all the time.
Yeah, amazing.
Yeah.
That's so good that he, like, invested that time
in you. Yes.
Because you're seeing what you're doing now and your sister as well, and you know what I mean? Like, he's just created leaders for the next generation.
He would be so proud. So I think, was it 3 years ago he passed away? Yeah, he would be of all of us. We've all, you know, we're all doing, you know.
So good.
Yeah. And painting and, you know, being, you know, helping kids that are disengaged with their own culture.
Yeah.
You know, we've really embraced them and,
amazing,
you know, just trying to, and in them I can see a part of myself. You know, I was disconnected from culture for a bit there, and just reconnecting has literally saved my life, I think.
Incredible.
For starters, but so we see
when did you really start to connect on a deeper level?
Maybe about, well, I've been learning language since I was like 29, 30. I'm 38 now.
Okay.
Nearly 39.
Yeah.
4 or 5 years.
Okay. Which out of the almost 39 years is kind of a short.
Yeah.
But you've really connected on a deep level and have like moved forward so far in 5 years.
Yeah.
Do you feel comfortable sharing a bit of what you talked about with the writings that you found and...
I was just telling Mia just before we did this that I've been, you know, cleaning out some drawers and stuff and found papers that I've written on that were, oh, I didn't tell you about that bit. So some of them were like gratitude papers, like I'm so grateful for, and even from a young age, so I found them from a fair while ago, from a young age saying, I'm so grateful that I'm Nudinjiti. So even from a young age, I was so grateful.
That's beautiful.
And then on other ones where you say, you know, manifesting, like, I want, this is what I want.
Yes.
So I had that, couldn't even count. It was a wad of paper, and on almost all of them it said, I want to be connected more with culture, and I want to learn my language. And so when I read that, I got chills, and just I had that feeling, the same feeling of when I was writing it, and I had that longing, like it was deep.
Wow.
That longing that I want to speak my language and I want to be connected with culture was so, and so I had a really good cry after I read all of that and had this big release.
Oh, this is incredible.
And and then like the fire was going and I was just like, thank you for everything, put them in the fire. And
And now you're moving forward.
Yeah.
You're facing the present and the forward.
And I, you know, because I think that was last week, so I have really been focusing on being really thankful in this last week, because I remember that feeling of even just connection with other people as well, which was all, you know, wanting to feel connected. Yeah, I was just so grateful because I just remember how long I was yearning for.
Yeah, because you said that was like, what, 10, 15 years ago?
Yeah.
Yeah. And you just found it, these writings last week.
Yeah. More that I found a little bit a while ago, but wasn't like this. Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah. So I've been going through all the old, you know, boxes of crap that you keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So even though you were able, you know, you kind of ran around as a young kid, like being a tomboy, that you had all these jobs all around Australia, that you've had all these, this life experience, it was like you've really aligned with your soul.
Yeah.
Now.
Yeah.
And that's incredible. And just this, even just since I first met you, which was always, I always just knew you were amazing, but I think there's just this like peace and calm over you too. Like this, you know, this groundedness as well.
Yeah.
That it's just, and even, you know, if there's resistance or, which we get as humans, we, you know, there's people that will wrap their arms around us and there's people that will resist us no matter what we're doing.
Yeah.
But you're just like, yep, that's cool. Yeah. Because you know, you just know who you are.
Yeah.
And that's a very incredible feeling for others to be around, I think. Yeah. When you're around people who just know who they are and they're in touch with their soul.
Yeah.
It puts other people at ease.
And thank you for saying that, because it has been really hard. Yeah. It's been really, really, really hard.
Mm.
And I do feel, you know, with some of the things that I'm facing at the moment, if they had happened 2 years ago, I would have been having a meltdown.
Mm-hmm.
I would be resisting. Maybe I was trying to plead my case, or maybe I was trying to justify to people. At the moment, I'm just sort of like, I'm cool with it.
Yeah.
Oh, really? Oh, yeah. I'm fine with that.
Wow.
You know, so it's taken, I feel like, a lot of sort of hurt and stuff to get to how I'm feeling. But I am, you know, and I still feel anxious and stuff when things happen, obviously.
Yeah, of course.
But I feel more grounded now than I have ever before.
Amazing.
Yeah.
I feel like it's going to give others permission to find that as well.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah.
That you finding that and surrendering to it in a sense.
Yes.
And settling into it.
Yeah.
Is going to give others permission.
Yeah.
To find that for themselves. And maybe even some of these naysayers in your life, maybe it is because they're just needing that for themselves too.
Yeah. Yeah. And yeah, I do think that's why. Mm, I do.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I can feel it's hard. I'm trying to find the words to respond to what you're saying, because I can just feel it. It's very, very powerful. That's amazing.
Don't get me wrong. Like, I'm not like this about everything all the time.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think I do feel really grateful.
Yeah.
To be where I'm at right now, because I'm sort of just letting other people, think whatever they like.
Mm.
And I know, you know, about myself, and I am grateful that things aren't affecting me like they used to.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. And it's incredibly powerful to know that you're going to have a wave and have a big, like cry session.
Yeah.
Something's going to hurt you. It's not that you're, I think sometimes when we, like even just how you had to excuse it away. Like, don't get me wrong, I'm not whatever. We do that because we don't want to be accused of saying that we're superhuman or above anything.
Yeah,
because we're still human with feelings.
Yeah,
and resistance, especially when it's against our soul, hurts.
Yeah,
and it's gonna hurt, but you are dealing maybe with that hurt differently.
Yeah,
than 2 years ago, even.
Yeah.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think it's powerful and vulnerable to admit that it hurts too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. But I think it's incredible where you're at right now.
Mm,
and I'm really grateful to be getting to know you
as,
you know, just woman
to woman. Likewise, though, for me. Yeah.
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 But what you're offering the community is out of this world. Like, it's really incredible. And I don't think people fully understand it, all that you do. I really don't. But it's absolutely incredible. It's a huge gift.
Mm, thank you. Yeah, so I heard you say before, you know, what was your passion or reason for, you know, language. And I think, you know, telling you about my pops, 4 younger siblings that were stolen, and them not speaking any language at all. Then through my dad, he definitely sparked that, and then I came home and was doing language with elders, and they had just done the first dictionary when I had come onto the language scene. So I think they'd been doing it for about a year since the dictionary, but they were they were amazing. They rang around everywhere to try and get any oral words that anyone remembers, and people
Like just called people up like, what do you remember?
The whole Nurundjeri Nation, if you think from like Cape Jervis to, you know, almost Meningie and out Murray Bridge that way, the whole lot.
Wow.
Just ringing everyone.
That's how they collected.
And so 450 words, words and phrases were remembered. And then the next was obviously the missionaries who were recording. So they rang everywhere, went, and they were driving, and that people were saying, I only remember like one or two. They were saying, that's okay, we'll just come and get that, you know, have a chat. And then so all that's these incredible. Elders and young people were giving the words that they remembered, and then they were getting phone calls saying, I've just remembered this, or I've just remembered this song, I just remembered, you know.
I just got chills. It was like all over. That is incredible.
It was an awakening
of
people remembering words.
Wow.
And some of the elders said, you know, they were really, like, really nosy, and they would hide around the corners listening, because obviously if they, like, weren't allowed to talk Nurundjeri at all.
Wow.
Because obviously they would get punished. They were punished badly if anyone heard them.
By the missionaries.
But if anyone heard them speak language, practice any sort of custom, tradition, anything, punished. And obviously other people were getting honorary white people cards.
Right.
So if they acted, you know, in white ways, they would get these cards saying, you know, an honorary white person.
Are you serious?
Yep. Absolutely. It's crazy, Anna.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, so they got the 450 words from that, and then after the awakening was happening, and then a few years later, the second dictionary, edition two, and then after that, I think there was the Smarties book in there, and then another dictionary. So there's heaps of resources out there at the moment. The Smarties is a really good one to have.
I had no idea about that part of that piece of the story. I've heard pieces of it, but for some reason I missed that beginning part. What an incredible picture of... because I can imagine it's like, I remember only three words, but then it would just that file in your brain, you know, to come to the, what is it, the prefrontal cortex all of a sudden... It's like, oh, the file's a lot larger than you think.
Yeah, and they were dreaming and you know, hearing, you know. Yeah.
Oh, I love this. And so and a lot of that's just like overhearing language.
Yeah, and that was like, we have to recognize how brave, how brave they were. You know, they felt naughty, you know, punishment was coming even doing that. And then to make the dictionary, like, I think, we have to, like, I'm so grateful for the elders, you know, before me. There was no way that I'd be able to teach language if it wasn't for them. There is absolutely no way. They were so,
so significant. This has, you know, if you save language, you save culture. You preserve culture.
Yeah.
Like, language is so vital.
Yeah.
And it's where we, the brought, like, the local Nurundjeri, Ramundjeri need, as well, but the rest of us do too.
Yeah.
Because we need to speak language to keep it active and alive. And
I always say to the kids, you know, we sing in kindergartens, and they do these super cute, you know, welcomes and acknowledgements and stuff in the kindy. And like we say to them, every time we sing in Nurundjeri and we talk in Nurundjeri, we are healing the rui that we're on, the land we are on, and our miwi.
Beautiful.
Our spirit.
That's beautiful.
I really believe it. Yeah.
And I love seeing the younger generation. It's just second nature to them.
Yeah.
It's not like an event. It's not, it's just like, oh, this is the way it is. This is who they are. And it's so encouraging because they are the next, you know, and for them when they're leading in leadership positions and this, it's just going to be normal.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, second nature. Yeah. And
I like to think, so Nala's five and he talks deadly nut and jetty. He's pretty good.
Incredible.
Never does it on cue though. So it's highly annoying.
He's like, on my terms.
Yeah, totally.
Yeah.
But if I think about him when he's my age and think about his kids, we have lost a lot of language.
Yeah.
You know, the fortunate thing about the missionaries' journals is that we can make sentence structure and know how to make new words with the 450 words that were remembered.
Okay.
So that is the fortunate part. So we are still, there is still, you know, a gap, but then we're able to look and sort of revive with the sentence structure and the words that elders had remembered.
Yeah. So it's important to acknowledge something good that came out of all of the torture.
Tragic,
And tragedy.
Tragedy.
Wow. That's incredible.
Yeah.
And you are a huge carrier of this and leading the way big time at this in this time, you know. And it's setting up the next generation.
Yeah.
For, that next layer of healing.
Yes.
And I love that. I love how you say that to the kids, that that's what they're learning, that this is healing Rui country and your Miwi.
Yeah.
Your soul, spirit, gut, Miwi.
Yeah. And it's in our monkery. It's, you know, so every, you know, when you're sick, it comes from your monkery, which, you know, we believe too. But, you know, gut health and think about all of that stuff, your gut instinct.
Yeah.
So for us, our Miwi always comes from our monkery, our stomach. Yeah.
I love that. That was something that you taught me. You probably don't remember, but you taught me about Miwi.
Really?
Yeah. And I was like, can I use that word? Because I don't know the Cherokee term for it yet. I'm actually enrolling. I found a school I can enroll online as well. So I'm going to start learning language too on that level, which will be cool. But you've been very influential, more than you realize for me, in my own journey and connecting more. To Cherokee Nation and owning it and being proud.
Yeah.
And I love how you say you're a proud, beautiful Nananjeri woman. Every time you do welcome, you know, it's so good. I'm like, yes.
Yeah.
But you've, you know, it's, I think, just want you to know your influence has, you probably just don't, these are the things you don't get to see all the time, but you've been really inspiring to me as well.
Thank you
for that. And I on a daily level go, what's my Miwi saying? I really live from that.
Yeah.
And to have a term that feels on a deeper level to hold on to. So thank you for letting me use it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
No, I'm happy. So, I'm happy you use it. Yeah.
Yeah. Thank you so much for just opening up and sharing a piece of you with us so that we can all grow and in understanding more with Nananjeri culture and language. And if you're local to Victor Harbor or in the Fleurieu region and you want to connect with Kyla, I will put her details. the face she just made. She's like, oh, I better get those details sorted. I'll put her details on Insta. And if you ever get to participate in language classes, I highly recommend it. But just, we have an incredible person in our community.
And thank you for having me. I'm really happy to be here. And I'm happy to be a part of this. And happy to connect and have cuppas with you.
Yeah, thank you.
Thanks for listening to She's Seen the Podcast. I would love it if you could subscribe to the podcast and leave a rating or review to help us grow this wonderful community, which you're welcome to join and be part of in whatever way works for you. You can connect with us more on the socials or online at She's Seen Movement. We would love to hear from you, so reach out, get involved, and help us shift shame by sharing stories. Thank you for being here and showing up. This is your weekly reminder that you are enough exactly as you are in this moment. And actually, you're kind of amazing. So thank you, and we'll talk to you soon.